The scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
It happened every single Sunday. We'd sit down for lunch, and my dad would start with the questions. What did you learn? What was the Bible story you studied? What did you hear? What do you think was important about it? Even when we were quite young, we all had to give an answer. The assumption was that each of us had something of value to add to our understanding of Scripture, or our understanding of the sermon we heard, or our experience of being together in our community of faith. This practice has absolutely shaped my faith. I have never had to give up being curious about the Scriptures. I've never had to think that some questions are out of bounds. But it has also shaped the ways in which we interact as a family, even now. Even with all of our religious education, Ben and I are not the resident experts at the lunch table. My brother-in-law, who was not raised at all around religion, can still offer up insights on the scripture, on the sermon, on participating in the community of faith. We speak our truths to each other, and we are enhanced by our different perspectives. Even when we disagree, sometimes in very ugly ways, even when we disagree, we can still learn together. At its most basic level, our Bible story today is two men meeting on a desert road, asking questions of Scripture and sharing the truth they see. One of them is leaving Jerusalem and traveling home. He is a man with relative power. He manages the treasury for the queen of his country. He's from Ethiopia, a land that was considered the end of the earth to many in Jerusalem. He would have been seen as exotic and fascinating because of this. And because he is a eunuch, He's outside of what would have been the sexual norm. And we all know what it is like to be intrigued by sexuality that is expressed differently than our own. And so this difference would not have been missed by others to whom this conversion story was told. It also means that while he would have seen himself as Jewish and was in Jerusalem to observe Jewish holy days and is studying Hebrew scriptures, it is likely that he would have been denied full access to the temple, denied full access to Jewish practice and acceptance because of a verse in Deuteronomy barring eunuchs from the tent of God. And yet, he continues to seek. He continues to ask questions. The second man must have had a mind that is swirling with all that he has seen and heard and done in the recent past. He has borne witness to a resurrection, seen new life, seen the Spirit at work in the people around him, watched as crowds have flocked with a mixture of curiosity and faithfulness, fascination, and also commitment. Commitments to live together in community. He has preached the good news of new life himself. It's been a busy time, an overwhelming time, a time that defies belief in some ways. And yet, he too continues to seek further down this path. It has become his life, his reality, his truth. These two men meet up in the middle of an empty road in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a place where no one should be and where nothing can happen. Certainly not new growth, certainly not new life. Not in the middle of a desert. The first man, the Ethiopian, is reading from the prophet Isaiah, and the second man, Philip, can hear him because reading aloud was the practice at the time. And so Philip asks the Ethiopian if he understands the scripture and gets invited to study the scripture together with him, to guide him and talk to him about it. The study begins with reading the text aloud and then asking questions about it, with being curious and trying to understand. Then Philip tells about his own experiences over the last few months, of Jesus' death and resurrection, of the growth of the church that he has witnessed. Philip brings the biblical text into conversation with his own life and experience. This is a fabulous model for how to do Bible study. We should all be doing this. Read the text aloud. Actually read it. Don't assume that you know what it says. Read it. Read it with someone else. Ask questions of the text. Follow your curiosity. Put it into conversation with your own life, your own experiences, and share those things honestly with each other. It's a fabulous model for doing Bible study. And if you remember who Philip is, it's not all that surprising to you that this story of conversion in the desert is centered on that kind of study of Scripture. Philip has always been a student of the Bible. He meets Jesus and interacts with him in Galilee. The story of this is in the first chapter of John. And when Jesus invites him to follow as a disciple, Philip says yes. And then he runs to find his friend Nathanael. He tells Nathanael that Jesus is the real deal, the one about whom Moses and the prophets wrote. He points back to the scriptures to help him make meaning, to help bring understanding to what he is seeing and experiencing in Jesus. Reading, studying, interpreting scripture, those things have always been a part of Philip's life. And so it is no surprise that this is the thing that draws him close to the Ethiopian. They are both students of Scripture. They are both seekers of meaning and revelation. They are so similar. And yet, they are also quite different. Philip is an insider, a Jew, someone who is sent out with a purpose. The Ethiopian is an outsider, kept just outside the faith that he seeks. He is a fascination in many ways. He is an other. Philip is supposed to be the guide. Philip's supposed to be the converter. And the Ethiopian is the student, the converted. But Nadia Boltz-Weber challenges us to look a little deeper at what happens in this story. Perhaps both men are converted, she says. Philip offers up his interpretation of the scripture. And my guess is that there's a bit more back and forth, a few more questions asked than gets recorded for us. But in the end, the Ethiopian converts. The Ethiopian opens his mind and heart to a new way of seeing things. He changes. But then it is the Ethiopian who breaks open the next resurrection in this desert scene. The Ethiopian sees the water. Philip doesn't see it yet, but the Ethiopian sees the water and says, "Look, here is water. Is there anything to prevent me from being baptized? Is there anything to hinder me, to continue to keep me out of the faith?" Remember, Philip is a Jew. He's a follower of Jesus, a follower of the way, as they called themselves. But Christianity at this point is still a Jewish sect, subject to the ways of thinking and laws that would have, in fact, prevented and hindered this eunuch, this differently gendered, differently sexed man from full fellowship. And so now it is Philip's turn to convert. Philip's turn to have his mind and heart open to a new way of seeing things. It's his turn to change. Is there anything to hinder me from being baptized? Philip does not answer that question aloud. Instead, he gets out of the chariot, goes down to the water with the Ethiopian, and baptizes him. Both men are changed. Both men have a new life, a new way of seeing the world, right there in the desert where there shouldn't be water or growth or anything new, right there. Both of these men experience the good news. Unhindered, eye-opening, life-changing news. Back in the first chapter of Acts, at the time of Jesus' ascension, Jesus tells his followers to be his witnesses, to spread the gospel, the good news as they have experienced it, and to spread it in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and out to the ends of the earth. In the verses just before this story that we read, after telling the gospel in Jerusalem, Philip actually goes to Samaria and baptizes people there. And now we have this story where he baptizes a man from Ethiopia, from the end of the earth. Jerusalem, Samaria, the end of the earth. The good news spreads. The gospel spreads. And sometimes we have this mental picture of that being a really unhealthy thing, where we, full of our hubris, our own version of the truth, we go tell others how wrong they've got it and how right we have it. But that is not how the gospel spreads in this story. That is not how the gospel spreads in this story. Again, Nadia Boltz-Weber pushes me in such good ways. She says, look at the commands given to Peter. The commands given to, or to Philip, I mean. The command given to Philip is go and join. Go and join. Go and walk alongside. Go study together. Who knows, she says. Maybe the Spirit even told the Ethiopian to invite. Invite this person who has excluded you into your chariot and study with him. We don't know. What we do know is that both men see things differently for having come together, for having studied the scripture together, for having spoken aloud of the good news in their life, for having told someone the experiences of Christ and community, for having pointed out water in the middle of the desert to each other, for having asked questions and sought understanding side by side. Maybe that's the best way we can spread the gospel too, by joining others, by sitting down, reading scripture, paying attention, asking questions. Maybe we too can see the world differently. Maybe our eyes can be opened to new life. I believe that there are people all around us, people who are quite often quite different than we are, some of them more similar to us than we realize, people all around who are trying to make meaning, trying to figure out the events of their lives and of this world, trying to understand. We can go and join them. We can do it without hubris because we are also seekers. We are also curious. We are also trying to understand. You have a story to share. You have a truth to speak about the good news of new life for you. About the ways that living together in community, the ways that choosing this faith, this story, has shaped you and continues to shape you. You have these stories. So go and join. But remember the Ethiopian as you do. Remember that part of the good news we proclaim is that the Spirit of Jesus, the risen Lord, is unhindered by all the tombs that we would want to put him in, unhindered by the boundaries we draw, that new life is found in desert places, in people we disenfranchise, in people that we other, in folks who are different. Go and join, knowing that part of your conversation, part of your conversion, may be that if we do, if we go and join, we may also find water in the desert. We may also find God at work beyond our imaginations. We may also find an unhindered spirit alive and well in the stranger. Go. Join, invite, ask questions, study scripture. Go, join, ask questions. May we make it so. Amen.